What does the Bible say about the roles of men and women in the home and at church? We should probably do a whole theme evening on this at some point. This is a fairly current issue, isn't it? But very briefly, I'll outline where we currently stand as a church. Obviously, as on any other issue, we want to accept the Bible's values without allowing cultural and often worldly values to distort what we think and how we live. The challenge we always face is how to read the Bible with some awareness of our own cultural assumptions, which may prejudice the way we read the Bible. Some of us may have an old assumption that the woman's place is in the home, and some of us may have the very modern assumption that women should have access to every role and every position that's available to men. Well, what does the Bible teach on this? Well, firstly, it's patently clear that women are equally valuable to God, equally indwelt by the Spirit when they trust in Jesus, and they're gifted to serve in many vital ways in church life. For example, 1 Corinthians 11 says that women could pray and even prophesy. They can convey God's truth to the church. Perhaps that's why the final chapter of Romans contains so many greetings to women who played crucial roles in early church life. Women are equal in value to men. After all, we're both made in the image of God. That said, the very fact that we're made in the image of God could imply a difference in role and authority and responsibility. Because if we're made in the image of God, well, God is not just kind of a singular personality. He's three persons in one being. The Father is in authority over the Son. He sends the Son and the Son obeys him. Likewise, the Father's in authority over the Spirit. So they each have different and complementary roles in all they do, even though they are equal in being. And various passages imply that divine complementarity is actually reflected in the roles of men and women, or it should be. For example, Ephesians 5 teaches that a husband should self-sacrificially love his wife, and that the wife should submit to her husband. Now, that doesn't mean that she should be a doormat, and it's not denying that the husband and wife are a team who communicate and work things out together for the glory of God. But it does underscore the fact that the husband bears the primary responsibility before God for what happens in the home. The buck stops with him. And what about in the church? Well, in 1 Timothy chapters 2 and 3, Paul says that only men should do the authoritative teaching in the church. And hence he says in chapter 3 that elders have to be men. Now, I think some people have said that guideline, that boundary, was very culturally influenced. It was because of Paul's Greco-Roman culture and his Jewish heritage that he was saying those kind of things. But actually, if you look at the way Paul argues it, he grounds his teaching in creation itself. So, a quick summary. In the home, it's the husbands who bear the main responsibility. And in the church, the primary leaders and teachers are to be suitably qualified men. But all Christians, including women, are to be involved in teaching and encouraging one another. And how exactly that works out in practice can vary from church to church. Here at Longmeadow, our practice has been that we have women occasionally sharing their testimony, sharing how God has been leading them. They can pray, they lead services, they even sometimes teach. Many of you know that lady from Jews for Jesus came and taught us about how Jews celebrate the Passover. It's a great example. But the main teaching, we're persuaded, has to be done by men, and most often by the male elders.